Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News.
From high above the Milk District in the park. Did you do that thing where I just...
What did you just do there?
I hit my teeth into the microphone. I'm a broadcasting professional. I've been doing this for 22 years.
Wow.
Sort of a from high up whack. All right. Let's try that again, shall we?
You're smooth.
That's what I am. It's all about my own personal style, though. From high above the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon, this, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere, during which the host only occasionally presses his teeth into the microphone at a high velocity. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following...
That woman who had the acid thrown in her face did it herself. And a TriMet driver is in trouble for reading the Kindle on the I-5. And it's National Parking Day.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when this hour began.
And then the hosts, apparently.
Yes. And now, without further ado, what are you saying? I give you Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Friday, September 17th, 2010. An investigation indicated that the reported acid attack on Bethany Sorrow was self-inflicted, Vancouver police said yesterday. They called the incident a hoax during a Thursday afternoon press conference, and the results of the investigation will now be turned over to the county prosecutor's office. You handed me... Oh, here it is.
Yeah, a little instant karma is what that was right there.
What the hell is wrong with Friday?
I think what's wrong is that I inadvertently injured myself at the beginning of the program, and rather than offering me sympathy or comfort or support, you just mocked me. And then God decided to show you a little thing called punishment. His divine grace came down to the studio and hid your news story from you now. Have we located it?
Yes, we did.
Also, your hair is sticking up as though you were a Manchichi. In your face, Don Taylor. Where is your God now?
All right. Anyway, Police Commander Marla Schumann says Bethany Sorrow has talked a bit about what motivated her, but those details cannot be released yet.
She is extremely upset. She's very remorseful. In many ways, this is something that just got bigger than what she expected. And so she has shown that this has affected her a great deal.
So now, Vancouver now has its own Tawana Brawley, basically, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Chief Clifford Cook said discrepancies started to appear as detectives began to investigate the case. Thursday morning, they served a search warrant on her home, then interviewed Sorrow, who eventually confessed the attack was self-inflicted. The chief said the case, unfortunately, has cast Vancouver as Esther Short Park as a potentially dangerous place.
Really, so it's robbed Vancouver of its bright, shining reputation?
Yeah.
Okay.
When, in fact, he called the area the jewel of the city.
Did he really call it that?
Yes, he did. He said Esther Short Park is the jewel of Vancouver, Washington.
Well, okay, now see, but that might not actually be false. You know, it's all relative. You know, even a sewer has a bright spot. I'm not saying Vancouver's a sewer as such, but I'm just saying,
I suppose in its way, it's kind of like the Times Square of Vancouver. It's like it's all surrounded by bright, shiny condos and Starbucks and stuff now. But like my husband has told me about being, a teenage dirtbag and going to Esther Short Park and drinking beer out of a paper bag and sleeping on a bench with all the other bums when he was young. So it's, you know.
It's kind of like, it's like being the best looking man in Steubenville.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all, it's all being judged on a very, very steep inclined curve. Is that is this cut number two or?
This will be cut number two. Police Commander Marla Schumann says discrepancies in her story led them to believe the injuries were self-inflicted.
You look at the splash pattern, you look at the time of night, would people usually be wearing sunglasses, etc. So it was all the little things that really didn't quite add up to what we would know to be a usual circumstance.
It's good to see, though, that she did follow the entirely usual circumstance of blaming a black person for it, which yeah. which then everyone immediately embraced as the truth. You know, it's like the whole, what was it, the first case I remember really having huge problems. It was the Susan Smith thing in South Carolina where she rolled her kids into the river and then yeah. it was this terrible, awful Negro and he took my children. And everybody went, well, that sounds reasonable. That's yeah. what they do. And then they immediately just replicated the story all over the news. And then that story, in turn, became the template for every crazy person that committed some crime against themselves or others and then decided that that was the way to sort of distract everybody with it.
Yeah, it always make my mind always goes directly to the episode of South Park where I think it was Susan Smith and the Ramses and, like, O.J., and they formed a support group for innocent people whose children were or whose loved ones were victimized by random strangers, you know, black people
right.
or maybe Mexicans who just showed up and did these horrible random things that you know, they had nothing to do with.
Can I tell you that just it's funny you mentioned South Park because I was lamenting last night that I just I am so far behind on that show because I just take it for granted. At this point, because it's first of all, it's always on. So it's like you can just turn on Comedy Central
it's
any
like
given
the Simpsons.
Moment.
You don't have to actually watch it anymore. It's just going to always
it's
be
there at any given time. You turn on the Comedy Central, and there's like a 1 in 2 chance it's going to be playing, and then it runs like 24 hours a day. At the SouthParkStudios.com or whatever it is. So when everybody says, "Have you seen whatever the recent episode of South Park? Have you seen the latest South Park, wherein the following zany occurrences take place?" And the answer is always no, because It's the sort of it is the absolute embodiment. It's the microcosm of that thing that because of TiVos and DVRs and time shifting technology that none of us has to make an appointment to actually watch anything anymore. So
as you know, I live in a van down by the river and don't have cable anymore. So
I got to take like 2 weeks at some point where I just do nothing but sit at home and watch South Park so I can be caught up in like a cultural literacy sense.
Chief Clifford Cook. You know, when he was not calling Esther Short Park the jewel of the city, said investigators who served a search warrant on Storrow's home yesterday morning also conducted an interview with her.
Discrepancies in Bethany Storrow's story led investigators.
That doesn't sound like that guy.
You look at the splash pattern.
No,
you look at the time.
Sounds entirely
that's
wrong.
That's the lady again.
All right. Well, let's just imagine that he was.
Your audio things are wrong.
Let's imagine
wrong.
He was just hooking his thumbs into his belt and standing on the porch and sort of chewing on some tobacco and speaking in a sage voice colored with country wisdom and life on the streets.
Well, he did say that Storrow's parents have not been interviewed since the press conference a week ago, and that would be speculative to characterize their prior knowledge of the new information. As you recall, Storrow, 28, gave a news conference at Legacy Emanuel Hospital a week ago, describing how the woman threw acid in her face. She spoke about 20 minutes, sometimes laughing, sometimes crying, using a tissue to dab at her eyes or nose. She said she held the press conference to draw attention to the efforts to find her attacker, but to talk about her faith. I'm here today because of Jesus Christ, she said.
It seems like there was some joke there about lisping the word face and faith and my faith is burnt. There's something that I was trying to put together last night, even, and it wasn't really coming together for me. Did she say where she got the acid? Is that
no? We don't know anything.
That's the big question that no one has answered. I've been watching every single story that's come out about this, because then there was that. The messed up thing about this was that duplicate attack, like in Phoenix or something,
yeah.
last week, where
which definitely sounded to me like. It was self-inflicted.
Like a thing that actually, happened one way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just all calm down.
I argue with you. I'm arguing with you.
I was about to agree with you. Let's just all take a step backward, all right?
Why are we both so angry today?
I'm not angry, Don.
I was in a really good mood.
I think somebody's projecting a little something.
Something just went awry.
All right, Dawn's going to take a moment and assess her own personality. You're listening to PDX.FM. This is Legion of News. You can also hear this program later on the day via iTunes. You can download it from legionofnews.com or from PDX.FM. You can get it on your mobile device as well. That is mobile.pdx.fm. That's where you can get this program. And later on at 1 o'clock, the Rick Emerson Show will be airing at rickemerson.com. This... All right, have we found our center?
I think so.
Okay. This is Dawn Taylor, the Legion of News News Desk.
A TriMet bus driver was caught on video by a passenger reading a Kindle while driving down I-5 Thursday. As the passenger reached into his bag, pulled out the Kindle and set it on the dashboard, the passenger said he decided to catch it all on camera. The recording took place on the Line 96 bus traveling from Bridgeport Village to downtown Portland. The passenger, who wished to remain anonymous, recorded about 60 seconds of video as the bus ran along the Terwilliger curves. The passenger said the driver appeared to be reading all the way through the curves and into downtown. The video shows the driver, whose name has not been released, looking up and down at the device as he drives. At one point, the driver uses only an elbow to steer the bus for a few seconds while looking down at the Kindle.
Wow.
He seldom has both hands on the wheel.
I don't even know how that's possible. I mean, a bus is a thing that's not... I mean, it's not like you're steering a moped or like one of those Shriner cars or something. I mean, even if you have power steering, don't you have to have the... I mean, this is a big turning radius on a bus. Don't you have to be able to turn the wheel like a whole lot?
I guess not if you're, like, just on the Terwilliger curves and you just have to kind of go, oh, I need to veer a little bit here.
Is it the Terwilliger curves that, like, if you're going from here, like, if you're, let's say you're going from here and you're passing where, like, the turnoff to go to, like, Salvador Molly's was, like, you're heading to...
Well, it's like Barber to get off at Terwilliger, that whole thing going south.
See, I find exactly the opposite, though. If I'm ever coming back from that part of town, like if I'm, like Laura and I have some friends that live over that way, and whenever I'm driving back, or sometimes, because you can get back from Beaverton that way if you take the long route, like if you don't want to take the 26, right? You can get to...
Well, this is like going out to my home. This was coming from Bridgeport Village, which is the next exit
right,
from where
yeah.
I live.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's that whole...
Or if you're going to, like, Multnomah Village or
yeah.
something, you can sort of...
Yeah.
See, I find it's exactly the opposite. That it's incredibly difficult for me to stay... I really have to work to stay in the lane there because the speed limit is such... The speed limit is such that even though the curves don't happen very often, that they do bank around kind mm-hmm. of sharply. That is a place where I find myself... First, and if depending on which way you're going... You can exceed the speed limit by like a dozen miles without even blinking.
Yeah.
So it depends on which way he was going, I guess. All right, I have to. Is there a video of this that's been posted?
That I don't know.
What could I search under here? What is the identifying?
I'd say TriMet driver Kindle.
TriMet driver Kindle.
The passenger did say when he was departing the bus, he said, "quote He asked if I took his picture while he was driving. I said I had." And he responded that I was not allowed to take his photo while he was driving.
I don't
think that's actually true.
Well, this is now the defense of everybody. This is the, like, every cop who gets caught sodomizing a guy with a broomstick somewhere. It says, you're not allowed to film me, which is not true. All right, so I'm, here's the best part. I'm actually looking at this. The first result that came up, and it said, this is from Oregon Live. A TriMet bus driver caught on video reading a Kindle. They don't even say, like, allegedly. The video indicates that, or it appears as though. They just flat out say, like, he was doing it. Behind the wheel during Thursday's morning commute could be fired for violating agency rules.
Yeah, he's on administrative leave right now.
All right, let's see
well,
if I can...
Well, I guess technically they have to absolutely prove that, you know...
Why do they have to absolutely prove that? You know, would they have to absolutely... If a guy came into 7-Eleven, if you were working at, like, a Plaid Pantry, and a guy came in and you were just sitting there whacking it behind the counter, you know, while looking at Butt Slave Digest or something, do you think, like, that we'd have to absolutely prove he was masturbating? No, they would just say, like, you're out. Like, here's your keys. You gotta leave.
Well, for one thing, in most jobs, they want to actually make sure that you were doing what you're accused of doing before they fire you. Second of all, he drives a TriMet bus. Do you know how many complaints they must get a month from people saying things like, you know, my driver has two heads. I believe my driver's a communist and was trying to infiltrate the CIA.
Okay, I'm watching the video right now.
They deal with bus people all day.
I'm watching the video of the driver. And I'm waiting to see if he's... I gotta say, unless you know what you're looking for, it doesn't really look... It doesn't really look like I thought it looked in the story, because the way the story makes it sound, it's like the thing is in his lap. That's how it is. Is that how it sounds to you?
I said he put it on the dashboard bus.
Maybe I'm conflating this. Wasn't there a story last week where the driver was accused of texting or something?
Yes.
And then
yes.
The guy said, "What are you doing?" And the driver said, "Nothing." And the guy said, "You're texting." And the driver said, "I'm not." And then what was even the resolution of that?
I think he was fired because he was texting.
The driver, but they found out that he was.
I think so. I could be wrong.
Was there film of that?
No.
So they fired that driver. Just on the allegation that he was texting?
I think he was. I mean, I know that he was placed on administrative leave as well.
All right. So as
someone in the text box says that the bus drivers aren't even supposed to have an electronic device on their person while they're driving at all.
Well, I know we have actually heard from several, and I have to preface this, we said last week by saying that we have a lot of TriMet drivers who listen to the show. And so I would, of course, not imply that any of them.
Occasionally say, and I'm not supposed to be doing that.
Nobody knows I'm listening right now or calling in. Texting with my large toes. I'm not saying that any of them listen to the show on the job, but I'm saying that we have heard that from them. They say, well, many of them have said that I would listen to the show during the day, except we can't have iPods, you know, whatever. But I'm looking at this video here, and I'll be goddamned if the guy doesn't. Have you seen this?
No.
You should come stand over my shoulder, Don.
Oh, okay.
So I've got this here. I'll post the link to this at rickemerson.com here in a second. So I was looking at the guy's lap, trying to figure it out, but it's just right there.
No, yeah, he's...
And at one point, he actually leans forward to flip pages, you know, to...
Oh, yeah, he's reading.
Now, yeah, he'll get about halfway through it, and then, he just leans forward. Page 7. All right. I think that's what we call pretty blatant. Yeah. Here's the other thing is, it's taken from an angle. I mean, it's like a downward angle. So the passenger either had to have been standing behind him or just like holding his phone up and angling it down. So it's surprising
like
that the guy didn't notice.
Well, of course he didn't notice. He was busy reading.
I guess that's true. I guess one eye on the wheel and one eye on Dickens. It's hard to figure out exactly what else is going on.
Yeah,
on the
I want
bus.
To know what he was reading.
Well, I hope it was interesting, friend.
Reading Twilight.
All right. Well, there you go. So I will. I'll get that posted up at rickemerson.com.
I am very cognizant of not like talking on the phone, not being distracted, not doing any of those things. But then I have to admit that a week or so back, I can't remember when it was, there was some kind of an accident on the freeway, and I was trying to get home from here at the Emerson News Network studios. It ended up taking me like an hour and a half to do the drive that takes me usually 20 minutes to get home, because.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hold on a second. Just getting all the bus noise.
It was just like crawling, like that whole thing where you move forward one car length, hit your brakes. Move forward one car
right.
length. Yeah, and it was horrible. So I had my laptop with me because I was on my way home from work, and I did just put my laptop open on the seat next to me and prop it open and like just played a downloaded episode of some TV show that I was watching. So just like move forward, look over, move forward, look over. And I did that all the way home. Which I realized, you know, was probably not legal.
No, not as such. I mean, at least you weren't watching porn, because that's the sort of thing that if you get busted, like that woman who got nailed last week because she was, you know, she's driving home and she had the vibrator. I guess she had the vibrator out, which is really the big selling point of the story to me.
And apparently she was using the vibrator.
Yeah, but I think we would probably be astonished if there was some sort of magic device that would allow us to see just at a stretch. You know, kind of like when you look at a road map online to see where the traffic is bad and certain parts of the road blink green and other parts blink red. If you could just look at a road map in like rush hour traffic here in Portland and just see like purple everywhere that there is somebody who's doing something that they shouldn't be doing, putting on makeup, eating a sandwich, you know, texting, watching a movie, sculpting something, throwing a pot, doesn't matter, you whatever, you know, like while they're just waiting for, you know, the light to
grooming their dog.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I do this actually, because if I'm going out to Beaverton in the morning sometimes, you know, to do Outlook Portland, if I'm doing that, it's not like I read or whatever, but I will actually try to figure out, are there any tasks that I can actually accomplish between here and, like, you know, and Beaverton? Because there's long stretches of road where there's just, you're not moving at all. It's not like you're creeping along. You're just sitting there.
Yeah.
There's, if you're going, what, if you're going to the 26th and you go past, it's to get on the 405 to go to Beaverton, and that is just like a parking lot. I mean, there's just no moving at all. And so I'll just like try to sort of demarcate out all the things that I can do while I'm sitting there immobile for what seems like hours on end. But then you look over and you see somebody who is literally like sitting behind the wheel, like thumbing through Cosmo or something, you know, steering with their knees.
Well, people in major metropolitan areas with bad traffic, they sort of get used to that. I mean, you know, again, the Los Angeles experience. I used to get stuck on the freeway in traffic in L.A. all the time. And you look over, and the guy in the car next to you is like got an electric shaver, and he's shaving while he's behind the wheel, you know.
Well, waste not one, Don.
People are just, you know, using that time to their best advantage.
Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up today at 1 o'clock. And if you are listening later on, you'll get to hear us talk to Mr. Dan Clark. He's going to be talking about Pirate Festival 2010.
Yar.
We'll also get to the conclusion, the apex, we'll finally watch the clown porn that arrived in the mail earlier this week. Corpse Watch today, Clergy Watch, and Stupid Criminal of the Week. And that is coming up at 1 o'clock. Legion of News is brought to you by, among other folks, Mr. Michael Beatty. He is the proprietor of The Cleaning Solution. The Cleaning Solution will offer, as you might have deduced from their name, cleaning solutions for your carpet, your upholstery, stone, tile, your walkway, hardwood flooring, anything that your feet might touch, whether it's at home or at work, and it's residential or office. You can keep that stuff looking great because it's the day you bought it. And if you find yourself, you're just getting some sort of ground-in grime at your home, or you got a spill, or you got a stain, you can get it taken care of so it looks good before people come over and before you bring shame on your family and friends forevermore. You can contact him at 971-533-3211. 971-533-3211. The Cleaning Solution. He is a proud sponsor of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. This is Don Taylor.
It's National Parking Day, an annual environmental campaign that originated in San Francisco in 2005 that urges the temporary transformation of urban open space. In Atlanta, sod has been placed over half of the 40,000 square feet of cemented parking space at Atlantic Station. Jeff Mayer, CEO of co-sponsor MX Energy, says a free concert will be held today to help educate people about green energy.
And they've done this by putting sod on the road.
Sod on a big parking garage space thing, a parking lot.
I feel smarter already.
There'll be a lot of local environmental groups that have set up around the perimeter of the parking lot. Those groups will be offering tens of thousands of people a lot of their products.
Okay.
Well, we did the same thing on the Hawthorne Bridge.
Yeah, but we were pretending it was good for anything.
Apparently that's the new thing now, is you take something that's covered with cement and you put sod on it and you go, ha-ha, it's a party. And, yeah.
Okay. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News news desk.
I don't seem to be communicating well today. Is it me or is it you? Which one of us is it? Is it me?
What?
Am I just...
Were you just talking? Rick Emerson Show comes up at 1 o'clock. Today, still to come at this hour, we have entertainment news as well as television tonight at the news desk. This is Don Taylor.
I was going to ask you, by the way, you mentioned the clown porn in the next hour because we had Anna Griffin from the Oregonian in yesterday. And so we were busy running around and doing all of the things before she got here that we didn't want to inflict on her. Like, we did the penis watch, and then I was like, hide the clown porn. And you said, I will put it in my bag. I'm gonna, did you have it in your bag and take it home with you last night?
Yeah.
So... imagine, if you will, like you had gotten into like some kind of like a car accident or something on your way home, and they took you to the hospital, and they were like, well, here's his effects. So let's look for his ID. He's got clown porn.
Emerson 37 was, and then they just like, you know, they list all the details of my accident. And then they would just do that thing where the news does the slow pan across, my weeping relative sitting behind a table clutching my last known possession, which is my bag. And then out comes the clown porn right under the table in front of everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I've thought about that. That's the whole thing of... making it, like when your mother used to tell you, change your underwear before you leave the house, because if you were ever found, you wanted to be found in tip top condition. Every time I've had any item in my possession which is even the slightest bit embarrassing, I always assume that I have somehow exponentially increased my rates of being killed. Just so God can inflict a little extra punishment and humiliation on me. Yeah, I did think about that,
okay.
But I also figured that ship has kind of sailed because, I was here talking about how I was planning to watch the clown porn. like broadcasting that fact for days, and in fact soliciting clown porn from the audience. So it's not really like it would have caught anybody off guard.
That's true.
I mean, if it had just been like photos of Billy Barty all greased up and jammed into Rue McClanahan, you know, then that would be, that's not necessarily a thing you would have anticipated.
Lord.
No, but I'm just saying you wouldn't have expected
that. Where did
that
come from?
It's just from the depths of my imagination. So you wonder what else is in there now?
No.
And so that's not a thing that you really would have, you wouldn't have predicted that. The clown porn, not really a big surprise at this point.
See, to me, it's not so much death would be my fear. It would be the whole being in the emergency room and bleeding and still conscious. And they're like, Ms. Taylor, is there anything you need out of your bag? And I'm going, no, don't look in there.
Don't look in the bag.
Don't look okay, then. And they pull out the count. Yeah. A man spent the night on Mount Adams, where his father died following a climbing accident, sheriff's deputies said Friday. Yakima County deputies said the man, in his 20s, was climbing the mountain with his 60-year-old father Tuesday when the weather deteriorated and they decided to turn back. While descending, the 60-year-old man fell and slid down a steep slope. By the time his son could reach his father, he was dead, according to the sheriff's office. Deputies said the young man spent the night on the mountain and couldn't call authorities to report the accident because there was no cell phone service. The two men were from Aurora, Oregon. Sergeant Jared Towle said a team will comb the mountain today to look for the father's body. Hallmark Fisheries of Charleston, Oregon, is recalling several packaged crab meat products because they have the potential to be contaminated with Listeria monocytogenes. The organism can cause serious and sometimes fatal infections in young children, frail or elderly people, and others with weakened immune systems. No illnesses have been reported, however. The crab meat is sold under the brands Hallmark, Peacock, Quality Ocean International, and Yakina Bay in 5-pound cans.
Wait, is this actual crab or is this K-Rab?
No, this is actual crab.
Okay.
Crab meat products.
All right.
In 5-pound cans, 1-pound vacuum packs, 1-pound plastic tubs, and 8-ounce plastic tubs.
So a crab meat product isn't like a cheese food product?
No. Well, okay. It kind of is because I think it's not just necessarily crab. It's crab meat product.
Crab and crab-like additives?
Yes.
Okay.
Crab. But with two B's and a trademark. It was distributed in Washington, Nevada. Today is just not working.
Did you say in Washington, Vada?
Washington, Vada, and Orifornia.
Is that after the consolidation happens? Is it after the next Civil War and the zombie apocalypse?
After AOL buys everything and just merges them all together. That's a private joke just for me.
Okay. You printed out a piece of paper that just says 245 on it.
I've been trying to print.
I just pulled this off the printer. It's a page that's entirely blank, but then in the upper left-hand corner, right up in the like, topmost section, it just says 245 in tiny letters.
Yeah, apparently.
Is this a code? Is it supposed to be a micro dot for the Nazis or something?
I'm trying to print myself a copy of the run sheet, and it's only printing the second page.
The grizzly walks alone
and
at 245.
And there shouldn't even be a second page, because it just overlapped.
Here's the thing.
One thing.
All right.
Under the second
Dawn
page.
Taylor, look,
yes.
Dawn, be with me now. All right, let's...
Okay, hold on.
Now let's connect you. Everyone, just mind your own business for just a moment. Just go about whatever it is. Go about the rest of your day for a second while Dawn and I have this moment.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let's just have this. Let's have this bond right now. Okay.
Right.
Here's the thing. You've printed me... So you printed me these two pages. One is the run sheet, which sort of lists off everything we're doing. And everything is printing on the run sheet except this final item, which is the 2:45 p.m. Here's the thing. I've got a pen... And I've got this first page, which is really only lacking this final item. You could just write it there.
Yeah, but that's not what I need. I need the whole run sheet. I tried to print two copies originally, and it only printed one copy, so I gave you that.
Have you tried?
Then I tried to print it again, and for some reason, all it printed was the second page that says 245.
Have you tried shrinking the page down a bit?
Well, all I need to do is just get rid of 245 and go back up.
Would you like to just have my copy? Here you go. You can have mine.
No, I want you to have it so that you can keep track of what we're supposed to be doing.
You know, but that's not my job. All right.
So hold on.
To you. There you go.
But now you don't have a run sheet.
Right, but...
All right. Okay.
Okay, there you go.
I'm going to just write something
there you go.
On there.
Fantastic. Yeah. Awesome. There you go. Here's Dawn Taylor. She's at the Legion of News News Desk.
Let's do a little science news, shall we?
Okay, here's your science on the march for Friday. Sweet, blessed Friday. Leading into two glorious days when I get to be somewhere else. Here's Dawn Taylor.
An ultralight gas-powered car that can get 102 miles per gallon is among the winners of the $10 million Automotive X Prize, a contest to develop highly efficient, production-ready vehicles. While it's not likely to go on sale in its current form, Edison II's very light car number 98 was cited for its innovative use of lightweight materials, its superior aerodynamics, and its very low production cost. Oliver Kuttner, the founder of Lynchburg, Virginia-based Edison II, has said his target price is $20,000. The very light car number 898 seats four and is built on a steel frame of mostly aluminum parts that keeps the weight at 830 pounds, around a quarter of the weight of an average car. It has a space-age race car look and a teardrop shape, with the wheels set far out from the car to help deflect crashes.
It's interesting that we're still referring to things as being space-age, when in fact that does mean 1963. Yeah. I mean, really, if you were going to be technical about it.
It's like also, in some crazy way-off future when we can use phones that aren't connected to the wall.
Is it also just called the Very Light Car?
Yes, it's Very Light Car number 98 is the name of it.
I kind of, in a strange way, I like it when they have something that is presumably very advanced and then they give like some sort of clunky pedestrian name to it. Like, what is that thing they have? I think we mentioned Contact yesterday, but the very large array or whatever they call it, that big bank of satellites or something
and
in Arizona.
Big pipe.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of dig that stuff. I mean, it's sort of a, you know, it's sort of the law of contrary naming. Here's Don Taylor.
Well, the Edison II, they won $5 million for their car, and then two other car makers will split $2.5 million each. Lilan Motors Corporation made a car called the Wave 2, a two-seat electric car that gets 187 miles on a charge. And X-Tracer Team of Switzerland, who built a motorcycle-like electric mini car called the E-Tracer 7009 that gets 205 miles on a charge.
So what is it? But what is it to get a charge, though? I think that's really the question, right? I mean, it's not in terms of, I mean,
that's just how far it can go before you have to recharge it.
Right. No, I understand what that means. But I'm saying, what does it take to get a charge? Like, can I just plug it into my wall socket at home? I mean, I'm not asking you to tell me.
That's what we're working on with electric cars now. In fact, here in Portland, they've actually started building charging stations. We're actually preparing for people to
have
electric
cars. Right. Well, they have them
cars.
Downtown.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is that's what it all comes down to, right? Is like, does it take more energy to create? Does it take more energy to charge the cars, so you know, than it's really worth? Like, does it end up just being a net loss anyway? Like, if you have to charge the thing, you know, for a week and a half, for it to go however far it's going to go before it runs out of energy, that it just seems like it, you know, then you end up. Because that all has to come from somewhere, right? You have to have some factory that creates.
Well, yeah. And the thing is that
the energy.
Yeah, and a factory that creates the energy.
You know, like you have to have a coal burning factory. You have to have some sort of nuclear
reactor.
And
that is one of the questions about electric cars is offsetting, you know, the carbon footprint that we're creating from, you know, coal production, coal use for electricity production versus the damage we're doing and the costs involved with, petroleum.
Because I was just wondering, like, why you can't buy that today? That always is the question I have. If that car sort of exists, which it does because the guy just had it in the contest, like, why they aren't just selling that somewhere? And I don't buy the theory that somehow, like, the oil industry is just. If there's one thing we found in America, that if a guy can make money on something, he'll find a way to sell it. I mean, there's no industry that's going to keep something off the market.
Well, have you seen the documentary?
Who killed the electric car?
Yeah, I mean
that's. I understand that. I'm not saying that for a short time things can't be kept. We can't keep. Look, we have the military trying to keep drugs off the market, and that doesn't work. And that's the army trying that. So it's not like something won't eventually. If you can make money on something, you know, it will eventually be a thing that's for sale, even if the oil industry themselves did it, because they see the writing on the wall with that.
I think it's just these things are just so immensely complicated. It's like you look at what's happened with Tesla. They built these $100,000 prototypes of their cars to earn money for the company to keep funding their research and development. And the thing is, they were supposed to have cars available now. And that company is actually going under.
Did you say that the Tesla company actually doesn't have anything to do with Tesla, though? That it's just like they just bought the name?
They just used the name.
Which is sort of an interesting. Because you would imagine that that's the sort of thing that would be under the control of his relatives. You know what I mean? Like, there would be, like, you know, Johnny Tesla or, you know.
Well, how did the band get to call itself Tesla then?
That's a good question. I don't really know the answer to that.
I think probably there was no one actually guarding that gate.
Here's a confluence of these two things. Speaking of bands and Tesla the guy, have you seen that video that's going around the net of the dudes playing the song Iron Man while big, huge Tesla coils zap them with, you know, they just got these this massive energy surge going through them.
No,
and
I
so
haven't.
There's the huge arcing. These guys are standing between two giant Tesla coils, and it's arcing, and actually, like, they're... they've got their guitars wired into the sound system somehow. So as the Tesla coil arcs and hits the guitar, it actually sort of transmogrifies into the sound itself. So they're playing Iron Man, and there's this sort of thing happening in the background.
Oh, wow.
It's awesome. It's like the best piece of performance art. I'll find it. I'll post it. It's fantastic.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that.
Here is Dawn Taylor.
Kids getting older, younger, KGOY as it's known, is not just a cultural phenomenon. Girls are literally hitting puberty at a younger age and alarming the health community, since early onset puberty is often associated with a higher incidence of breast cancer and of behavioral problems. Now, a new study has suggested that fathers may have a hand in how their daughters mature.
So to speak.
Researchers from the University of California, Berkeley, have discovered that girls who live in homes without a biological father physically mature sooner than those who live with their biological father. People have always assumed that this was because girls in such homes were more likely to have poorer diets and thus higher body mass index, a ratio of height to weight that determined, you know, blah, blah, blah. But here's... early puberty is, however, more prevalent among white, non-Hispanic girls who live in relatively well-off homes, ones where the household income is higher than $50,000, and the absent dad effect held even when weight was taken into account.
I don't get the phrase white, non-Hispanic girls. Does that mean... explain, you are a journalist, what does that mean? I mean, I know what all the words mean. What does that phrase mean? Because I see that a lot. So, newspaper woman, tell me, what is that about? What is that?
I think all that means is that we've decided to lump Hispanics in with Caucasians.
I'm sure they appreciate that.
So that, you know, because that way we don't have to, like, we can still continue to say, there's everybody and black folks. You know, I really think that's
I don't
it.
Think there was a meeting held where they said that. That seems...
I think at some point there must have been, though, it was just decided among, you know, journalists that there was some confusion as to what white meant.
Right, but how does that make it less confusing if they say white non-Hispanics?
I don't think it does.
Okay. Who can I call who can answer that, do you suppose? This is one of those linguistic things that puzzles me, and I don't like to not know stuff.
Who do we know that's an actual journalist?
Well, Anna Griffin was here yesterday. We could have asked her.
Add that to the list.
We'll put that on a list of awkward moments that we can have with the Oregonian's Anna Griffin.
The professor from UC Berkeley found the age at which girls reaching puberty has been trending downward in recent decades, but much of the attention has focused on increased body weight as the primary culprit. The results from this study suggest that familial and contextual factors, independent of body mass index, have an important effect on girls' pubertal timing.
Pubertal timing?
It is pubertal timing.
Like a different form of hourly measurement. Is that like when you're measuring something in Kelvin?
Yes, exactly.
All right,
it's a metric. You know, we measure things in puberty.
Well, this seems like the sort of thing. This is one of those studies that just confirms what everybody who has spent any time at a high school already knows, that the chick with a stepfather sleeps around like way earlier than the chick who has a biological father at home.
Well, it's interesting because they still don't know exactly why. They're theorizing that perhaps it could be because other unrelated men in the home, whether they're stepfathers or boyfriends of the mother, give off pheromones that set off the girl's biological clocks. Then again, an Australian study found that having older brothers can also delay the onset of puberty in girls. The more older brothers a woman has, the older she is when she gets her first period. So it may be that male relatives have some kind of dampening effect on the whole girl-to-woman thing.
Okay. Is that what they call that now, a dampening effect?
Yes. The most controversial hypothesis is that it has something to do with the mothers, not the fathers. In a study that was published this week, it showed that weak maternal bonding can jumpstart puberty. So it may be that mothers who have jobs and are not home as often because their single mothers may not be bonding as much with their daughters, which delays puberty as well.
This is all very confusing.
Okay.
This is, you know, stories like this, I've never been more aware of the tininess of my human brain than we have, because I think this is the third story on early puberty onset that we've had in like a month. All of them pointing the finger very strongly at completely different sources. Makes no sense at all. Are we still in Science on the March here?
Yes, let's do one more science
story. All right. Here's your Science on the March. This is Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Rescuers achieved a key breakthrough in efforts to rescue 33 trapped miners on Friday, reaching the caverns where they are imprisoned with a borehole that will now be widened so they can be pulled to freedom.
Borehole, by the way, is going to be the way that I refer to people that I don't really care for and who tire me out. All right, I'm going to write that down. Go ahead.
That was the name of my gay leather band, by the way.
Borehole.
It was Borehole. Atacama Region Governor Ximena Matas said that the T-130 probe had reached the mine area near the chamber where the men have taken refuge, some 2,300 feet beneath the surface. Officials say rescue, though, is still more than 6 weeks away. Workers will now fit a wider bit on the drill and start boring a 26-inch hole wide enough to pull them in to the surface.
So is that they got to just make it incrementally larger? Is that the thing? Because I guess if they go in with the huge hole right away, that is going to crack everything and that the whole joint's going to implode.
And also you're sending more crap down on their heads as well.
I hadn't really thought about that if they're down there and every time you're drilling through, that stuff just falls directly down into this, into what is not like a very big opening to begin with. That sucks. This is going to be the worst Thanksgiving ever. I mean, not for me.
Well,
you know
they are in Chile, so they probably don't care about Thanksgiving.
That's a lie, Don. Everyone everywhere cares about Thanksgiving. Why? Because it's an American holiday, and therefore important the world over. Here's a question. Do they celebrate Halloween everywhere?
No.
Is that true? Because Lara's going to Spain, and as dumb as it makes me sound, I didn't know whether, because I asked this question. I said, so are you going to, you know, I said, if you're going to be in Spain for Halloween, is there like a whole, you know, is there like a Day of the Dead thing that happens there or an actual Halloween that happens there? And we couldn't, she actually didn't know either. So it wasn't
Día de los Muertos is a Mexican holiday. So I don't.
But I didn't know if it therefore had antecedents elsewhere.
Well, they may. I mean, there are probably, because pretty much every culture has some kind of seasonal change holiday. And the whole Halloween Día de los Muertos thing is all about, you know, the death of spring and, you know, that kind of thing as the winter is coming. It's like it's a fall holiday as we watch all the trees die and that sort of thing. And so I'm sure there's something.
This is Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. We have entertainment news coming up here in just a moment. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show comes up at 1 o'clock today. If you are listening to the Rick Emerson radio program at weekdays, then I thank ye. If not, you can subscribe for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. And if you are not currently a subscriber, you can do that at rickemerson.com, or you can take part in something we are calling the Emerson Grant Program. And that is provided with our partners at New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance. They are helping us to provide that. It is honestly just this easy, my friends. You call this number, 503-505-6964. 503-505-6964. You'll leave us a voicemail of no more than 2 minutes in length explaining why you or someone you know needs to be a Rick Emerson listener. And to 10 lucky souls a month, we will be awarding a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. So if you are currently a subscriber, it's not something that you yourself are eligible for, but somebody you know will be. So that is rickemerson.com. You go there, find out more about it. New Millennium Landscaping and Maintenance, they make that possible. And 10 people a month will be awarded a one-month subscription to the Rick Emerson Show. Find out more at rickemerson.com. It is the Rick Emerson Grant. At the news desk, this is Don Taylor.
They do indeed celebrate a Day of the Dead in Spain, by the way.
Okay, that was my suspicion. That was my, it's obvious I know it's in Mexico, but that's a, but I figured that it had to be, that wasn't a thing that just sprang up without precedent, that it probably came from somewhere or was related to somebody, because everything is just a knockoff of everything else. I mean, that's, this is Christmas being the best example of that, where everybody just sort of get...
it's a bit, technically what it is in is All Saints Day, which is a Catholic holiday.
Right. Well, it's a Catholic holiday. It's a holiday that the Catholics undoubtedly stole from somebody else. I mean, that's... I figure that everything... It's sort of like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, where it's revealed at one point that every civilization reaches a point where they develop a drink that is similar to the gin and tonic. This is like every December, you know, no matter who you are or when you lived in history, you have something you do like around the 22nd of December that's a notable day just because that's what you do, apparently.
That's Jesus' birthday.
Here's Don Taylor at the at the news desk.
We have no more science.
All right, at the end of science. The end of science. All right, fantastic.
The end of science. Forever. A man suspected of stealing roofing shingles from a Salem business crashed into an electrical transformer while fleeing from deputies. Marion County deputies said they spotted the man driving a silver Dodge truck from ABC Building Supply.
That was an odd noise that just happened there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had chimichangas for breakfast.
At about 1:30 a.m. Thursday, the deputy tried to stop the truck, but the driver fled. Deputies said the truck then crashed into a guardrail and a Portland General Electric transformer. Edward Wickey, 23, was arrested and booked at the Marion County Jail on suspicion of theft, felony eluding, and criminal mischief. Salem firefighters extinguished a small fire sparked by the crash, and PGE crews fixed the damaged equipment.
And he crashed into a what? A transformer?
Yeah, he crashed into an electrical transformer stealing roofing shingles.
What did you say his last name was?
Edward Wickey.
Okay, so we're just one syllable off from actually recreating a scene from one of the recent Michael Bay films then. You just had like a sort of wit in front of that.
Oh.
Also, the thing about the transformer, I don't really even know what that is, and don't feel like you have to send me a thing explaining it. It doesn't really matter. But that is one of those things, speaking of Michael Bay, because I was raised on films for most of my education about, you know, science and how stuff works, it just seems like it ought to have exploded, because that's what happens whenever anything crashes into anything else that happens to be like a power substation somewhere. So the entire block just suddenly goes up in some massive conflagration. Apparently not, though.
You'd think they'd put up like big concrete walls around them or something so people wouldn't crash into them and we'd lose all our power.
So you would think, but it doesn't really seem to have occurred to anybody.
No. Here's a picture of Edward Wickey. He doesn't look remorseful for stealing the roofing shingles at all.
No. In fact, you can tell. I'm just making this assessment here. If you look at this guy's face, Edward Wick or Wickey, W-I-C-K-E, you can tell from the expression on his face, he is already planning his next crime.
Yes.
He thinks that the cops aren't onto him. That's the thing. His expression says, they don't know that I've already got that other job planned for when I get out of here, that bank down the street. No one is the wiser. We're all the wiser, friend. We can see it on your face. Here's Don Taylor at the Legion of News News Desk.
Different factions in the Republican Party are still sniping about the meaning of this week's big Tea Party win in the Delaware Senate race. Republican strategist Ed Rollins says discussions of a long-term split in the party are mostly wishful thinking by Democrats.
The Civil War is being overplayed. The Civil War has occurred on many, many occasions in the past when the Christian right became a part of it. When Reagan took on Ford, people said the Republicans are going to never get back together again. They obviously have.
Political analyst David Gergen said the internal debate may frustrate the GOP, but isn't likely to be a game changer in November.
Election campaign has shown that there's a very, very heavy rebellion out there against the status quo, and that will favor the Republicans and the fall.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. Seeing things go in an unpredictable direction, because usually this is this sort of thing that Republicans are using against Democrats. Yeah. So this is at least a change up from the way that it normally operates. Also, that O'Donnell woman, who was, you know, just one who pulled off the big upset in Delaware, and whoever thought that there would be some sort of anything of note of any interest to anyone happening in Delaware?
No.
I don't even know where Delaware is.
My mother was born in Delaware, and I had a friend who had like opined that Delaware didn't actually exist. Because nothing ever actually happens there. And I said, my mother was born in Delaware. And he said, no, she wasn't. That's just a lie. Delaware is a myth.
I couldn't find Delaware on a map if you put a gun to my head. Is Delaware one of those states that's like so small where the name has to be out in the Atlantic Ocean and there's just a line pointing in?
Yes.
And it's like it's in this clump of crap no one cares about.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. It's like the... It's like the last letters of the alphabet where they're all just jammed in together.
XYZ.
Or LMNO. It's just right in the middle. there's nothing of note, except your mother apparently, that comes from Delaware, except a civil war, as they're calling it now.
Well, and Washington crossed the Delaware River during that whole, Revolutionary War thing.
Is that true?
Washington crossing the Delaware?
Half the stuff they say about Washington was just like pulled out of some guy's ass because he was writing a textbook.
I believe he actually did that.
Is that the river he threw the coin across as well? Because that sounds believable.
I don't know if that actually happened, but there's a famous painting of him standing up in a boat.
Is this your evidence that it actually happened? I'm not disputing the painting exists, but Is that the reason that you're saying that it's a real occurrence? Is there's a quote, a painting
there.
Of it?
I wasn't there. There's no, like, you know, documentary footage, so I can't prove that it actually exists. But according to the history books, there's this whole crossing the Delaware thing
okay.
that happened.
All right. According to a picture that you saw put on a canvas, noted historian Hieronymus Bosch has said that. What was I just saying just now? Washington, blah blah blah, Delaware, blah blah blah, David Gergen, O'Connell. So the woman who had this big upset in O'Connell, you can tell that she is that somebody has already pulled her into a room. Some consultant somewhere, some strategist for the Republican Party has already sat her down and said, "Look, we don't like you. You don't like us. Nobody really thought you were going to win anything. But now I guess we're stuck with each other. So we got to try to figure out how to not get completely screwed like when the general election comes. So here's what you're going to do." They've been saddled with just this warthog of a candidate. And so they're going to try to figure out how to make her viable. So they're already...
And please, ma'am, don't be Sarah Palin and think you actually have something to offer.
Exactly. Because they're... You know what it is? It's like some guy who wins a reality show and stumbles into a record contract. And then the A&R guy figures, all right, we got to try to make some money off him. So they stick him in a room and they start blow drying his hair and buffing his nails and getting, Carole King to write, songs for him.
Well, we'll just drop the first name and call you Daughtry.
Exactly. Because they've already started to play down stuff like her anti-masturbation thing that we were playing the other day, which is... It was from an MTV documentary in the 90s, and I'm thinking it was one of those Sex in the 90s things that they used to play like on Slack moments, like on Friday nights or something, where she was a member of a group called, what's it called, like Star or Sad or
Salt.
Safe or Salt.
Salt.
Salt. And it was a whole thing about, the anti-onanism brigade, so you wouldn't, to keep thou from spilling thy seed on the ground.
Because, once he knows how to pleasure himself, what does he need me for?
That's right. So they didn't reference that thing specifically, her whole anti-the masturbatory crusade. But she did say that her faith, what did she say? Her faith presents itself differently now than it did when she was in her early 20s.
Oh, yeah.
Which is obviously a reference to that sort of stuff. She's not quite as...
So in other words, she's pro-masturbation
she's
now.
She's all for it. She can't get enough of it.
She can't stop.
Loves to masturbate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Dawn. I'm... So sorry. Castalia Language Center. It's a small private school in downtown Portland. See, the thing
is... We got such a nice email from her, just like yesterday, too, saying how much she has been enjoying her partnership with us.
Well, treasure that email, Dawn. Go home and frame it. Clutch it to your bosom late at night after she's decided to cut her losses. And the thing is, didn't we just have like a whole thing about Spain and Mexico we were doing like,
I don't know,
7 minutes ago?
Yeah, that would have been a good segue.
I got to build a time machine so I can go back and tell myself, hey, Rick, this is Ted. Don't remember. Don't forget to talk about Castalia Language Center after you talk about Day of the Dead. Castalia Language Center is a small private school in downtown Portland. They offer Spanish language classes for adults. Read No One in This Room. To know more about them, by the way, you can go to portlandspanish.com. Classes are limited to 8 students. The environment is comfortable and relaxed. Teachers are professional and friendly. You can tell they're professional, by the way, because they do not call up to excoriate us for ruining the name of their show, the name of their school, by dragging it through what we loosely and hilariously call our news selections every day. Clara Grebel is not only an extremely tolerant woman and understanding of my many flaws and foibles, she's a native Spanish speaker raised and educated in Argentina. She runs Castalia Language Center in downtown Portland. And we talk a lot about the people who've had a little bit of Spanish, maybe when they were in high school or they took a little bit in college. But they actually have three levels. They have beginning Spanish, intermediate Spanish, and advanced Spanish if you just need to brush up on it. Or if it's a thing you spoke fluently at one point, but you're a little rusty or you just need to get a refresher course on the basics, they can help you with that. They have classes all different times, all different days, so they can find something that works with your schedule. And most importantly, it is adults only, which means it's going to be people learning at the same speed, learning at the same rate, and it's limited to 8 students per class. It means you get near individual attention. Most importantly, they are proud supporters of Legion of News right here at pdx.fm. You can contact them at portlandspanish.com. Please tell them you heard it here. Castalia Language Center. This is Dawn Taylor.
Okay, let's do very quick entertainment news. My Lord.
Here's your entertainment news for Friday.
Save that one for later. Oprah Winfrey chose Jonathan Franzen's new book, Freedom, for her book club today, calling it a masterpiece 9 years after she canceled his appearance on her show when he expressed ambivalence over her endorsement of one of his previous works. I am really betting that Freedom by Jonathan Franzen will end up being for you, as it is for me, one of the best novels you have ever read, Winfrey said. When is the last time you heard that? I am not kidding.
Now, I thought that she didn't do the book club anymore. I thought that was the thing she got rid of.
No, no.
Because she felt that she wasn't able to, she wasn't getting as much reading done as she wanted, and she said she didn't want to just be picking stuff just for the sake of picking something. She wanted to be able to pick a book she actually liked. So I don't know.
This is her last year doing this particular version of the show, so I guess.
When is her last show? Do we know?
I don't know.
Because I'll watch that. I mean, I'll watch, you know, she's a force to be reckoned with, as they say. It's weird, actually, that Oprah...
I've heard very good things about this book, by the way.
The Franzen book?
She's not the first person to call it a masterpiece. People are saying it is just amazing.
I gotta say, because I read the corrections, and it did nothing for me. I was totally indifferent to that book. I read it, and I just got to the end, and I went, well, okay. And then I just kind of set it on the shelf, and I went on to whatever was next. It wasn't bad. It was nothing exceptional to me about that book at all. It was just very... I found it just like relentlessly bland, which most of her books aren't, because they're about sweaty people raping each other in the South. Usually, it's a bunch of grubby white people molesting each other in a trailer somewhere, and then somebody who, you know, later on decides to make peace with her mother because her mother did the best she could in a different time, and then like the end. Also, she's always a writer or a theater major somewhere.
U.S. TV legend Bob Barker was rushed to the hospital Thursday after fainting at a shooting range in the Los Angeles area. The 86-year-old former host of The Price is Right was shooting when he collapsed, a witness said. He had regained consciousness by the time help arrived, but was still taken by ambulance to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. Barker is now back at home after being checked out and cleared. A representative said he had had a reaction to blood thinner medication.
I like how Bob Barker's all like the Emperor Palpatine of the game show world. He's like a billion years old, just won't die, and just seems to be getting mean as a snake as he ages. Were we doing the show when that whole business happened with him and the Japanese whaling boat?
Yes, I think we did talk about it once when I was on the show. Yeah,
did we have the?
I remember that was awesome.
Where he was talking about who? I forget the name of the organization. It's not Greenpeace, I don't think. But it's one of those organizations that they get between the Japanese whalers and the actual whales. And the guy had approached Bob Barker, and he's like, "Hey, I want to do this thing where I get a boat and I get between whalers and whales, and I block them." And Barker said, "Well, how much do you need?" And so Bob Barker is telling the story about how he hooked up with this guy. Because the boat is actually called, like, the USS Bob Barker or something. So Bob Barker's telling the story about how he funded this guy's anti-whaling boat. And the quote from Barker said, "So he needed $5 million, and I've got $5 million, and I said, let's get it on." I got to dig up that soundbite. It's like the best thing you've ever heard in your life. I mean, I heard that, and I was like, God damn right, Bob Barker, F&A.
Yeah.
I love this country. All right. Here's Dawn Taylor.
We're out of time.
Are we at the end?
We're done.
Are we bringing the curtain down on this episode? All right. Fantastic. This has been another exciting installment of Legion of News right here at PDX.FM. It comes to you live each and every weekday from high above the Milk Packing District in the heart of beautiful Southeast Portland, Oregon. And it's brought to you from the Emerson News Network studios and broadcast everywhere around planet Earth, courtesy of PDX.FM and mobile.PDX.FM. It's available later on today at iTunes. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemerson.com. At the news desk, it is Dawn Taylor, advanced technology manager provided by Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agler, and chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. Again, The Rick Emerson Show coming up next at rickemerson.com. Have a fantastic weekend. We will see you Monday at noon right here at pdx.fm. This has been another exciting installment of
Legion of News on pdx.fm.